Praise the Lord.
We're going to finish up with Ephesians. See if we can finish that off. Fourth chapter. Look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're almost going through this book, and it has been a learning process. And it's here for us to read and to study. I want to look at, I'm going to start at 23, which is where we left a few minutes tonight. And probably let ourselves work down to the end of chapter 4, hopefully. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's go back to... We've been talking about Ephesians. If you've been with us all along, you know that Paul is talking to a young church, and it's to young believers, and it's to all believers. One thing you have to do when you come to God, if you're going to be anything for God and God, you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, the way you think.
Yes.
And what you feel is right, and what you had before you came to God, and what you have now. He says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'm sorry if I didn't say it. Verse 23 and verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that you put on or become or allow the Lord to, by the way of the Spirit, to make you new. You can let him wash you or not.
Yes.
You can... let the Lord make you new or not. You can allow the Lord to work a change in you or not. You can allow the Spirit to bring you to the point of being new in Christ or not. You can let the Lord give you a mind to let old things be passed away and all things become new or not. You can decide that you're going to allow the Lord to really work His will and His way in you because His way is right or not. You can decide that you want to follow in the way of, as he said here, true holiness. Holiness means being like God. And the thing that's so nice about holiness is that really, in and of ourselves, everybody, let's look up at the board and everybody look at us. You know what? Without God, we'd never be holy.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
It takes the constant washing and forever eternal sacrifice.
Right.
Of Jesus Christ, that we are holy.
Yes. Amen.
Now, when we change from mortal to immortal, it'll be a little bit of a different story because there'll be no sin left in us, and we'll be immortal. But at this particular time, our holiness that we should be with Him, that we should live in holiness. Let none of us think that without the not just once saving me and I'm saved and I'm holy, or not just once filling me and I'm holy. Once forgiven. It takes the constant new mercies every day.
Yes.
Refilling. And it takes the constant move of the Spirit.
Yes.
The ladies over here, because I will. It takes the constant. The blood is available for us every day. We do so many things. One of the biggest things we do that the blood has to wash us from is when we refuse to allow the Lord to show us when we're wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
And the blood has to keep forgiving you. And the blood has to keep standing for you for that because you keep doing it.
Yeah.
There's some habits that we have that the blood has to stay. We have to depend on new mercies every day. We have some habits, some ways, some attitudes. If it wasn't for the blood, you could not possibly be holy. Created and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on this new man that you're no longer a sinner, not just someone doing sins, but not a sinner. And I always like to point out the difference between the two because people like to say the Pentecostal churches are churches of don't do this, don't do that, or don't do anything. You cannot do any of them and still be a sinner.
Yeah.
So let's just not worry about the cough and get right to the virus and talk about the new man that Christ created by his death, burial, and resurrection, which is created in righteousness because of his powerful death and his resurrection. I'm a new creature. I'm new. Created in righteousness and true holiness, the holiness that comes from God. We are made holy. I'm sin-free because God set me free from sin because of the work that Christ did on Calvary.
Yes.
And when Paul talks to these saints in Ephesus, the same thing we talk about to everybody tonight and all that's new, you want to grab on to being this new man because it isn't something that is just for some of us and the church people got it. You got to come to us to get it. And, you know, it's like the temple. You got to go down to the temple off of a sacrifice and you got to get only the Levites can cut it up and only Aaron's sons can go before God. You know, if you know how it worked, you know, you had to have only the high priest could go before God. Yes. Only the Levites could chop, you know, could cut up and lay the meat on the altar.
Yes.
No, I don't have, you know, we don't have to go through all that. Every one of us can come before God. And every one of us, you know, has, you know, we are the new man that's in righteousness and true holiness. And you should want to have, you should want to put on this new man. Because the old man is so corrupt and defiled, and you should want everything because you should want whatever, you know, everything that God gives, because it's so much better, for lack of a better term.
Yes.
And that's the largest understatement ever. And it says, with this new man, he says, wherefore, all you new people, the only way God will step in and literally stop you from lying is for you to die.
Yes.
You have to stop lying yourself.
Yes.
The new man can go through life without lying. Mm-hmm. And I look at people who've been saved for such a very long time, and they're known in the gospel, and still from time to time, they are not above telling a lie.
Yes.
And they'll say, well, you know, I didn't really lie. I just kind of said it in that way. Hey, you know, like, you know, in the words of the everlasting words in my mind that I heard, first of all, from Bishop Butler, half the truth is a whole lie.
Yes.
Half the truth is a whole lie. I like that. Don't y'all like that? Want me to say it again?
Yes.
Half the truth is a whole lie.
Yep.
Wherefore, put away lying. So Paul is saying to these young saints, because he wants them to live, he's not rebuking. Y'all just lie all the time. That's not what he's doing.
Right.
He's saying, in order to be someone who you're put on the new man, this new person that's created in righteousness, right before God and true holiness. He says, and if you're going to do that, he says, okay, so one of the things you need to do is, he says, stop not just telling things that aren't true, but stop manipulating things and causing them to be what they are. You know, it's not just, you know, you just tell this and you know it's an outright, you know, falsehood. But stop, there's a word that Chandra knows, and it's called prevarication.
Yes.
Prevarication means a lie, but what it means is you spin it so that it's not like what it sounds. It's what the news people do all the time. That's why you have a difficult time trusting the news. They spin it in such a way. Some people, we call it manipulation in some places. Another place the Bible calls it subtlety. So that you say, you're like the serpent in the garden, mm-hmm. when you tell Adam and Eve, you know, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
And then under your breath you say, today. Basically what it came down to, he says, you're not going to die. Today.
Yeah.
But they did start dying.
Yes.
And so as he's teaching the new believers, I want to encourage all of us who are new every time we hear the word of God, let's be new today. You know, stop figuring out how to manipulate the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're late and you're trying to figure out how you can somehow have an excuse for being late without it being an outright lie.
Yes.
If it's not the outright truth, then it's kind of sort of going to be a lie.
Yes.
And that means that leads to the point where you're not honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling these young believers not to be like old believers who've gotten away with doing this forever. You know, just say some of everything. And he's telling them how to walk in righteousness and true holiness. Yes, yes. Because it's so much easier to be in God and walk according to God than it is to try and be in church, as we say, and live any kind of life.
Yes, yes.
It's so much easier to walk in life if you're like God, in your job, in your career, in your everything. If you walk in righteousness and true holiness, life is better.
Yes, yes.
And you have the blessings of the Lord. So he says, one of the things that gets you in trouble all the time is, he says, you just kind of sort of lie.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're a liar, you know what else lying will do, Elder Smith? Mm-hmm. If you have a tendency to lie, this is true, Chandra. If you have a tendency that you don't mind telling lies, you'll actually plan things with the lie being part of the plan.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you will. Yeah, you'll plan things with the lie being part of the plan. You'll say, I'm gonna go to the park today instead of going to work, and what I'm going to tell them is my hay fever is acting up. You know, if you tend to do that, you will actually make that part of your plan. Because you don't mind, you know, not telling the whole truth. So what you going to tell them when you get there about something? I'll just tell them that, I'll think of something.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell them the truth, why do you need to think of something? Mm-hmm. Why can't you just tell the truth?
Yeah.
So what you going to say about, I'll think of something. You see how much we have... Yeah, we're something.
Yeah.
And lie not every, not lie, and wherefore put away like, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And when he refers to neighbor here, he's referring to church people. He's referring to those who are in the body of Christ. He says, you know, in the house of God, y'all just stop, you know, doing misleading and doing all these things. He says we because we are all what? Members one of another. And he goes back to this body again, because everything points to the body. He's working with the body. He's working with the body. I've heard some of the strongest rebukes about lying come from somebody who's one of the biggest liars I know. Say, really? Yeah. Don't mind spending stuff. I'll tell you what else can make you a liar. You can also be a liar if you tend to repeat things that other people say and you don't realize you don't care whether they're true or not.
Right.
Because if they told you a lie, when you tell it to somebody else, you're telling them a lie.
That's true. That's right.
You know, you get some juicy gossip and you don't know where it came from, but you're just pushing it on. It's not true. Mm-hmm. You're still telling it. Well, you're lying too.
You're lying too. That's right.
That's why you should repeat. Be angry and sin not. He wants these people saved, Elder Reed. And he's saying to them, you need to be able to control your anger. He says, you're going to be angry from time. God gets angry from time to time. But God never sins. He says, you need to be able, that when people make you angry, not to allow your anger to bring you to the point where you do something that's ungodly. Why is this? Because you are the new man who's created in righteousness and true holiness. And you need to say to yourself, once upon a time, if they got me this angry, I would have done... thus and so, but because I'm the new man who's created now in righteousness, and what I would have done would not have necessarily been right. It would have been whatever came to my mind. But now that I'm the new man created in righteousness and true holiness, a righteous man would not do what I was thinking about doing, even though he's angry.
Yes.
So he says, and this another thing you need to do is be able to be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't contemplate it. As much as you can, figure out how to let it go. You know, come to some repentance, some forgiveness, some reconciliation. Make up your mind. When I get a chance, I'm going to make this right.
Yeah.
Don't overnight. You're mad when you go to bed and you're contemplating what you would do, and you get up in the next morning and you're contemplating what you would do. Hey, that happens to all of us from time to time. We have to watch that.
Yes, we do.
People can draw us out so much. We can go for a couple of days, you know, thinking about what we'd like to see happen to them. I'm no different. You know, and when the Spirit brings that to you, we need to watch that and let that go. That can become, you know what that'll take you to? That can take you to a root of bitterness. You can become very bitter. Neither give place to the devil. Don't listen to the devil. In other words, the devil's never good. He never means you any good. And Paul is saying to them, he says, there's never time when the devil's on your side. He's never on your side. If he's encouraging you to do something, it's always going to be wrong. If the devil goes along with your plan, there's something wrong with it. Don't listen to the things that would be evil, and don't listen to the things that would be not from God, anti-God, against God, opposite of God. Instead of righteousness, they're unrighteous, and I ought to go slash his tires. Well, you know good. You know that's not the Lord.
Right.
And I'm not saying they didn't give you a reason to be angry, but you putting on the new man is
in Christ,
and you'd like to say a lot of things. And he says, let him that stole steal no more. In other words, those who cheated people, who always got a scheme. You're not just robbing people's houses or taking a snatch of pocketbooks, but you always got a scheme.
Yeah.
You always got something going on. And it's not only about money, but it's about other things as well. You take credit for things that aren't you. You step up and, allow people to give you honor when it's not due. You steal that what you're doing is you're taking their accolades. You just do all kinds of things. He says, but rather let him labor, in other words, with his hands, and the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needs it. In other words, he says, be somebody that when someone needs you, you can reach out.
Yes.
Now, mostly he's talking about money, but he's talking about other things too. You need to be the kind of person that really, be an honest person and be a good person. So when someone has a need, you can help them. These are all people that he's talked to, not one-on-ones. He's talking about people in the body because he wants this church to grow and to become all the way up here, the back up here where it says fitly joined together, compacted.
Yes.
According to the in 16, according to the effectual working of the measure that every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He's saying all this, and we're reading this over the course of nights, but he's talking to them. He's writing to them in this letter. And he says, if you can do all these things and put on this new man, all of you are fit together. The old man doesn't fit to everybody. They rub people wrong. They're at odds. He says, but this new man can really work his way in. If you'll stop acting like the old man, and let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. In other words, if it doesn't build up people, encourage people, I know every now and then you have to be kind of stern with people. I understand that. But man, that should be such a rarity. And when it's done, it should be done with the idea of, hey, I'm doing this because I've got to correct this. And,
and
you really need to hear what I've got to say. I mean, it's not just me trying to impose my will on you or force you to do something that you don't want to do. I'm trying to help you get to where you need to be. We're trying to get this body to work like Christ would have it work and everything. And if you'll just go along with this, we can get this done. And this is edifying. This is building up. When you come up calling people devils, that's a devil over there. You aren't building up anybody. Even if they are a devil, you aren't building up anybody.
Not anybody. That's right.
If they are, if you have that much power, you ought to tell them to come out.
Yes.
If you're that deep, you got all this spiritual power. How are you just letting the devil sit up in here with you then?
All right, yeah.
When you going to put him out? You got all this power?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
You claiming to have all nine gifts, and you can do all this and do all that and everything else. How you got that? Why can't you put that devil out? But anyway, let no corrupt communication come out of you. Corrupt communication is not profanity. It means that it tears down.
Yes.
It's mean.
Yep. Delicious.
It's cruel.
Yes.
It's insensitive. It's hurtful. It's discouraging. It's frustrating. It's lying. It's all these things that cause people to go out hurt, discouraged, and frustrated. It causes a rift in the body so that the body is not being built up and edified. To be edified means the body is becoming stronger and it's growing together.
Yes.
And your words divide and they polarize. Now everybody has to take sides, one side or the other, and choose you over somebody else and do all this. That's corrupt.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the rest of these people are going to do, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do now. Y'all can follow them, you can follow me. You just become corrupt.
Yes, yeah.
Division. I'm going to say that again.
Yep.
Yep.
Anytime you got somebody coming up in a group of people where you're all supposed to be one body, and they say, well, I don't know about the rest of these people, what they're going to do, you know, but y'all can choose. You can follow me, you can follow them. You have just become corrupt.
Corrupt, yeah.
Because we're all supposed to be following Christ.
Christ, yes.
And there is one body, he said in the beginning of chapter 4. One body.
Yes.
One Lord. So, you know, if you seek peace in this world, we're supposed to be coming together. So when you make that sweeping statement, well, I don't know what the rest of these people are going to do, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and y'all can follow me, you can follow me. You have just become
corrupt.
You've torn your audience in half.
Right, yes.
Or into small pieces. You haven't brought them together.
Yeah.
So what would you say, Bishop Smith, other than that? You say, well, I'll tell you what my mind is, and then we can just see what others think about it and see if we can't work this out together. That's what you should say.
Yes.
But when you desire to be, when you desire to aggrandize yourself, or you have this little thing that you want to be above everybody else, you tear stuff up.
Yes, you do.
Because since we're all in Christ, the only way you can, you know, you can, you might be more spiritual than someone. You might have more wisdom. You might be older. You might be around. You might be a lot of things. But the only one who ever rises above us is God.
Yes.
And if you're trying to rise above us, you have a problem.
Yeah.
That's called covetousness, which is idolatry.
Yes.
You want power that's not yours to have. You're not supposed to rise above me. You might be more spiritual. You might grow in God more than God might. You might have more. You might have all that. But you don't ever just set out to think yourself, you have risen above every. I'm above everybody. That's God.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all not want to be up there.
No.
You know, he says, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. You want to build up the people that it may minister grace.
Yes.
You're going to be all right. God's favor. God's going to take care of you. God's going to work things out. You know, we might be going through a rough time now, but you know, grace, we're going to be all right.
Yes.
That it may minister grace to the hearers. The Lord saves you. You know, I didn't save you. God saved you.
Yes.
Someone with much greater power than me saved you. You ought to want to work. You ought to want to be in God because God knows who you are. Like the song Natasha Cobb sings, he knows your name. God knows your name. You ought to want to be in the Lord because God is the one who's over it. God saved you. God washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus died and was resurrected for you. You know, it should minister grace to the hearers. This is why we, come on, y'all. We can get along in here. We don't, you know, we don't have to love everything about everybody. We ain't all got to have the same color. But you should say something. But you know what? But we can all be. But we do all have the same gospel. Can't we just at least meet at the gospel table? If we can't do anything else together, can't we at least do that? And I make you a promise. Let's all just talk about what we can all meet about. And we won't go into my likes and my dislikes and how I feel and my wisdom and what's so great about me and you know and how I do it. Let's just stay with the gospel.
Yes.
For we can all meet and be. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. But all are one in Christ Jesus in the Spirit.
Yes.
Can't we just stay there? And you can keep your little opinions. And I do mean little now. You can keep your little opinions to yourself. Keep your mind to yourself and your worldly wisdom. Sensual and devilish.
Yes.
You keep all that. And let's just meet at where let's just meet what we're all supposed to have in common.
Yes.
And that's where we are righteous, where we have righteousness and true holiness in Christ.
Yes.
That's where we're supposed to be.
Yes.
This body is for the body of Christ. We might talk about cars in here as we chat, but that's not what it's for. If we do that, that's just social chatter. And we might talk about this and that or whatever, that's just social chatter. But the purpose of this body is to do the will of God.
Yes.
It is about Christ, and that's where we come to it. So if you like one football team, I like another one, we might in fun jest and throw jabs and do whatever, but the bottom line is It's never going to separate us in here because that's not what we're here for. This is not a sports bar. It's not an arena. It's not an athletic stadium or whatever. So we're never going to get into fighting over a football team in here because that's not what we're coming here for. That's not what it's all about. You might like, you know, clothes, car, whatever you like. And I might not like any of them, but we're not going to get upset about that because that's not what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for the cause of Christ. So he says that we're supposed to let not corrupt communications. Don't get to the point where things are, where we turn each other down so we can minister grace to the hearers.
Yes.
We can all come together and work together in God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And when he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, somehow or another we want to pull this verse out and go to saying something about grieving the Holy Spirit. No! Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, he says, don't lie, don't steal, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, edify the body, because if you don't do these things, you grieve the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You're not just grieving the Holy Spirit because you got a testimony, you're not going to give it. Really, if the Lord didn't give you a mind to give it, it's probably not time anyway. But when he says this, he says, don't do these things, because when you do these things, you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, he's saying he's trying to help you and you won't let him. You're vexing him because he's saying, no, no, no. Don't let the devil tell you to do that. Don't get that angry. He's saying, no, no, no. Don't say that over the pulpit. Don't let everybody know. Don't pour that venom out on everybody. You know, he says, I know you're a little upset, but maybe tonight you need to sit down. And maybe you should say nothing at all, because if you get up, you're just going to explode. Maybe today is your day. And when you get up and do it anyway, you grieve the Spirit, because the Spirit says, I told you not to say that. He's saying, you know, when you get up and you really throw that corrupt communication out there, you're grieving the Spirit. He's saying, I wish you hadn't said that. He says, now I got to go back and repair her. Now I've got to go back. The Spirit is saying, I just got him to come. Now, here it is. You and your corrupt communication, you've given place to the devil, and the devil's wearing him out. Now I got to work all over again. Try to get him to come again. Paul Ellis goes, one of our manuscripts, a brother offended is more, what is it?
It's harder to win.
Harder to win than a city?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the Spirit said, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. That, you know, that's not the way to say that. He's, because wisdom that's from above is first of all pure, then kind, and then gentle.
Yes.
And the Spirit is saying, you know, I really wish that, you know, it would have been so much nicer if you hadn't have said that like that. You could have been kinder than that. You could have been gentler than that. You're grieving the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And grieve not the, what does it say? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Clamor. Clamor is an up, you know, you're just yelling and hurting people and just saying whatever comes to your mind, and you just speak up roughly. And, you know, I have some people sometimes will do that with me. I'm trying to talk to them, and they'll get loud and just go off, you know, clamor.
Yeah.
Grieving the Spirit. He says, when he says in this, he says, all bitterness. You just, you know, I know some people who are older. They've been around people for a long time, and one in particular just has a lot of bitterness. And when certain names come up, you can just see the bitterness just flow from this person. But they Holy Ghost filled. But you know, they can turn on the charm and grin all day long, but just bring up this name and the bitterness, and you can tell it's just there. And you know, say, well, why is there bitterness? Because you haven't forgiven them. Anybody you don't forgive, bitterness is where you're headed. Didn't say that they weren't wrong, and didn't say that you had to continue to deal with them, but you need to forgive them, otherwise bitterness is where you're headed. And every time their name comes up, it's going to evoke or provoke, I don't know, one or the other, this feeling of this anger, this frustration, whatever it is, because of the bitterness you have for them.
Yes.
It's like when you, I think I can use this example, although it's not a great one. It's like sometimes when you have gastric juices flowing and it kind of burps up and you get this taste back in your mouth.
Right.
Every time this person comes up, that's why they said it puts a bitter taste in your mouth.
Yes.
You know, and you grieve, you know, with all wrath, you just, you know, you're just so angry concerning them, and you really want to see something happen to them, you know, and all clamor, you just can't, when you get up to speak, you just can't avoid it. You just go off, and I've seen people get up and get mad with somebody. Sometimes I've been the object of it, and just go on for an hour, clamor, spewing out meanness and hatred and anger, and just making a whole lot of noise about that, you know, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, put away with all malice. That's that evil intent that you have that you never get over. You know, you've just got this evil intent. You just never get over. Where this person is concerned, you just, you know, don't ever be the kind of person that you don't like somebody, you just can't explain why. Mm-hmm. If you don't care for somebody's personality or character or whatever, you ought to at least be able to say what it is about it you don't like.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just, I don't like him. What? I don't know. It's just something. You got help.
Yeah.
I got company.
You know, somebody's helping you give a place to the devil. You don't know why you don't like him. You just don't. I'll tell you why you don't like him, because you have a devil. Now I'll say it, because you have a devil.
Yes.
Helping you not like him. Because Satan's the only person I know who doesn't like anybody for any reason. He says in this, be put away from you with all malice. And the last verse, 32, last verse of the night. And be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Not be ye kind one to another of people on your level. No, be ye kind one to another, whether you way up here, and as we said, they're down here someplace, you know, as far as the church is concerned. You know, be ye kind one to another. Have respect for one another. Stop being a respecter of persons. You're not like God. Some people got a whole lot of respect for the wrong people and don't have any respect for the people they ought to respect.
Yes.
The nice, kind, gentle people who go on their way and don't bother them, you know, they don't give them any thought. And the people who are really out there someplace and up there someplace doing things that and just want to just give honor where honor is due. Well, yes, well, for once, let's just start really giving honor where honor is due.
Yeah.
And stop giving honor where it's not.
Yeah.
He says in this, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. That means open and receptive.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to talk to people, especially as a pastor, as a bishop or whatever, you'd be surprised how many people that are going through, and they'll say something to me that's kind of, well, it could have been said better. And then when you try to talk to them and try to settle them or at least bring the issue, at least I do, because I like the issues to be settled. You can ask my wife about that. I like the issues to be settled. Are they always self? No, but I like for them to be.
Yes.
At least try. And when you reach out to them, they're not tenderhearted. When they woof and they do whatever, and then you can't settle them down. They're not they're not receptive.
Yeah.
And they're not receptive. And then you have this when you want to pour out and be tenderhearted, you can be. You can do this, but you're not like that naturally you.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
You can be sensitive when you want to be sensitive.
Yes.
But it's not naturally you.
Yes.
Just not. But this new man is supposed to have that.
Yes.
Created in righteousness and true holiness.
Holiness. Yes.
Supposed to be tenderhearted, not just, you know, well. I can show sympathy. I can show, yes, I know you can, but you're not naturally, you don't have that. Because even when people are reaching out to restore you, you don't even want to let them do that. You're not tenderhearted. You're tough as nails. When people would reach out and offer you, and you're tough as nails. Your stubbornness is in there. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, forgiving one another.
Yes.
Oh, saints of God, what a relief it is to forgive people.
Yes.
They can get on your last nerve. My sister Bridget used to say, your reserve nerve. And if you listen to the Spirit, your first, since the flesh is the first thing rises up, the flesh will rise up in somewhat anger or somewhat disgruntled. And very quickly, the enemy will come and offer you something to do with the anger. Mm. And he's asking for a place in how you're going to handle the matter. He's asking to be included in what you're going to do with the matter. And he brings his suggestions of how you ought to handle the matter. And among his suggestions are wrath, clamor, anger. You know, he's bringing all these things that you're not supposed to give any place to. And he's suggesting all these things you can say, or what behavior you can have, what faces you can show, how you can walk out, slam a door, how you can retaliate, how you can show your wrath. He brings all these things, and the Holy Ghost is saying to you, don't give place to that. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. And you're saying, oh, but he did me like it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, but this is what you need to do. This is how you need to see it. Because the truth of it is, people who go around hurting people all the time are very small people.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what their title is or who they are. But people who go around and have no regard for hurting or doing things to other people, disrespecting other people, they themselves are very minimal. They don't realize what a small internal world they live in. They live inside themselves. Because when people grow to a because and so when you look at them, the Spirit will say, look at them and look at their life and tell me which one of you is happy and which one's sad.
Yes.
And then you'll have to say, I'm the happy one.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the Spirit, I've had him do it to me. I mean, so many times, and then he'll turn around and he'll say, you know what? You're angry with this person because they've done thus and so, and they really have done that. He says, but look at them.
Yep.
And you almost feel sorry for them.
Yes.
And you start to pity them, and you say, how did they get to be like that?
Yes.
And when you look at their lives, the next thing you say is, I'm glad their life is not my life.
Yes.
That's what you start to think.
Yes.
And then you wonder to yourself, how have they been around the same Holy Spirit that I'm around and not allowed him to work this in them?
Yes.
And then you understand who actually is grieving the Spirit.
Yeah.
And who's actually going along with the Spirit. And he will, and before you know it, rather than giving place to the devil and his comments, you will have the Holy Spirit's mind. And the first thing he'll say is you need to forgive him. And then you need to move out of striking distance. Yes, you do. Because you can't forgive someone while they're still punching you.
Right, yes, yes.
I forgive you, bam. No, that don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, as Ecclesiastes says, you have to refrain from embracing.
Yes.
And you have to be all right with the Lord in that. And you also have to be clear in the Spirit so that you know that you're not just not speaking to the person or persons, but you have actually removed yourself from this striking distance. There is a difference. When you just decide, okay, I ain't going to speak to them no more, but you're just as petty as them.
Yeah, that's true.
When you decide to yourself, I'm going to speak, I'm going to be cordial, I'm going to be loving, but I am not going to get close enough to where they can hit me again.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I'm going to be civil, I'm going to be all these things, and genuinely mean it, but I'm not going to be where they can strike me again.
Yes, yes.
They might lash out, but I'll be out of reach. I'm going to stay out of range.
Yes, yes.
That's what you know, why is this? Because you got to put away all anger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let bitterness come in, and you have to be able to forgive them, and you forgive them and stay far enough out of range so that they can stay forgiven. You know, don't keep jumping up in their face and around them, whatever, because they're going to bite you again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, once you forgive someone, give them an opportunity to grow before you decide you need to be where if you loan somebody $5, they don't pay you back, forgive them. Wait till they grow enough till they walk up to you one day and say, you know what, you loaned me $5 10 years ago, and here it is. But in the interim, forgive them. But, you know, from that point forward, you know, say to yourself, I can't loan them any more money.
Right. Yeah.
Money's easy to understand. But as far as people doing mean things to you or whatever, yeah, they do mean things. It's not in your imagination. But you need to forgive them. And what you need to do instead of being mean back to them, you need to realize that mean people are here again, pitiful little people.
Yes, right. Yes.
Mean people are pitiful people. There's a reason why they're mean.
Right.
Yes.
They're pitiful.
Yep.
And you should say to yourself, God, I'm glad I'm not like that. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, people who have tempers, explosive tempers that they can't handle, you should say, Lord, I'm glad I'm not that emotionally unstable. Stubborn people, who, as my mother used to say, who will cut off their nose to spite their face, you should say, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. And if you have a word, you need to say, Lord, I was like that. Mm-hmm. And then you need to pray for them and start saying, Lord, you know, if only they could see themselves.
Yeah.
If only they can see themselves. And you really will be able to forgive them because the Spirit will show them to you as they are. And then, like I said, then stay out of striking distance. Don't keep running up to your, you keep running to your mom every day. Mom, Billy hit me. And you crying, your nose bleeding. Come back to mom. Mom, Billy hit me. Well, sooner or later, you know, mom might say, you know, there might be time to push Billy back and do something. I'm not going to say that because, you know, it's self-defense. But at the very least, mom's going to probably say, why are you always with Billy?
Yeah, that's right. That's
why don't you, you know, don't you know somebody else you can play with? And isn't there somebody else another place? And she's probably going to say to you, now tomorrow, if you're on the swings and Billy comes, go do something else.
Yes.
It don't hurt. Let him have them.
Yeah.
The only thing Billy got is a swing, and the swing's so important to Billy, like the swing is life.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
Let him have it. Yes.
The only thing they got is the thing that they're so upset about.
Yeah.
Let them have it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God has given me so much more, and you can go and the Holy Ghost, and if you allow the Spirit and don't grieve Him, He will remind you so that you can be tenderhearted.
Yes.
So that you can be kind.
Yes.
So that you can forgive one another. He'll remind you of it, but you're the new creature who's created in righteousness and true holiness. But they've been around longer than me, and they created righteousness and holiness too. No. They were created in righteousness and holiness, but what does that have to do with you? That they haven't stopped being, how am I supposed to be to put it with it? I'm just a little new saint. They've been around forever. I don't care. They've been around forever. The Spirit is saying to you, it's time to let that go.
Yeah.
And you know what you need to do? Obey the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And say, well, why would the Spirit tell me, and why hasn't He gotten to them? He did try. Yeah. Trust me. In all these years, He has tried. Believe you me, as my mom would say. He has tried. And in each one of these things, you notice in verses 25 through 32, there is nothing in any one of these verses that God does for you. There is not. He gives you righteousness and true holiness. And He says, you have the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. He's working with you. And He's working to get you through all these things. You must go along with Him.
Yeah.
You have to cooperate with Him. It's worth it.
Yes.
It is. If I could just get people. The reason why I preach so much about forgiveness and reconciliation. Oh, what a relief it gives. Oh, what a peace it brings when you're able to genuinely forgive people and love them and go on. And if you stop being so insistent yourself. And relishing in being rubbing elbows with famous people and everything, If you'll get out of that and be normal, you can go on about your business. And you know, a lot of times it's almost like an abused wife or abused husband, as the case may be. People will say, "Why don't you leave that man or that woman?" And they'll say, "Well, he's a good man, and I love him. Why don't you leave that woman? She's a good woman. She's got good qualities, and you know, I don't know. I just like being around her." Well, then you like having your nose broke.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you do something? You know, why don't you separate? You know, why don't you just kind of, you know, you don't have to leave town. Just, you know, stop being up in their, you know, milieu. In their setting. Milieu means where they work at, where they are, their place. Isn't that right, Sean?
Yes.
That's what the word means. Yeah. Where you find them at.
Oh. Yes.
You know, like promises where you'll find them.
Yes.
Stop being where you find them. Do something else. Well, you know, and then if that's the case, then, you know, that's what you, that's how they are. That's what you get.
That's what you get.
No. Forgive them. And then do what? Move out of striking distance.
Yes.
You know, they're armed for this long. They can reach the mic. So you step up far enough so they can swing all day long. Just let them swing. Let them swing. And you stay out of the way. And that way, if they don't hit you, you're okay.
Yes. Amen.
Everybody standing. And be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another.
Yes.
Even as God, just like God, because of what Christ has done, has forgiven me, we're supposed to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And so, well, what is that like, Bishop Smith? God forgave me even though I was a sinner. When I came to God, I was a sinner, and he forgave me.
Yes.
And I didn't deserve to be forgiven. But he forgave me for Christ's sake. When I forgive someone, I forgive them for the same reason. Just like God did for Christ's sake, it's because I am a new creature created in righteousness and true holiness. It would be wrong. And if you allow the Holy Spirit, like I said, He'll change your mind and say, you know what? You can move on. You don't have to have that.
Right, yeah.
You can do without that. Life would be so much better. If I could get everyone that I preach to reconcile one to another, there's so many problems and things. I get so many phone calls where people want to fuss about this one, that one, and the other. And really what they need to do, what would be good is if they could just reconcile themselves. They could just come to a point and say, you know what? He or she does this all the time. That's the way they are. And I'm going on in God.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, well, why do you let it bother you? Well, you know, it just ain't right. You know, like, okay. You know, really, so you uphold all things by the word of your power, so you must correct it, right? By you all things consist, so you just must correct it. No. We have to go on in God. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your worship. Lord, we thank you for the praise and for your favor. And Lord, for your great grace. Thank you for the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, not only begotten Son, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we thank you for his powerful death, his powerful burial, his powerful resurrection, Lord, through which we have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for the new man that you've made us, Lord, created in righteousness and true holiness through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who forever stands waiting to lead us and guide us, and Lord, to see us through, Lord, who comforts us at all times, Lord. Lord, who's with us and brings things back to our memory, Lord, how the Lord is good, how to do things according to the word of God and the spirit of God. Lord, we just thank you so much for your greatness, Lord, because you're just a great God. We thank you, Lord, that you're our creator, Lord. You sustain us, Lord. And Lord, all these things, we just thank you so much, oh God, how you brought us to this point, Lord. You're a good God. Lord, we thank you for the love that you shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you've imparted to us by Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for the peace that passeth knowledge. We thank you for the wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ, his powerful resurrection. Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you that according to your will, we live and we rise, O God. Lord, we glorify you, O God, because you're a good God. Lord, stretch forth thy hand tonight to heal.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, according to your word tonight, here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, just in these few verses, Lord, stretch forth thy hands, Lord, to heal, O God. Confirm the word that we preach and the word that we teach, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, give grace to the hearers, O God. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, heal some. Lord, I pray, Lord, comfort others, O God, and soothe some. Encourage some, O God. Set some at liberty, Lord. Lord, drive the devil from some. In Jesus' name. And we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. We'll give you all the praise in the name of the Lord
in
Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for all of you tonight. Praise the Lord.